on Freeview Channel 730, online and on smart devices. This is RNIB Connect Radio.
This is an RNIB talking book.
Reading or listening to a great book is an important part of life, whether it's for education, to give you a laugh, or to just get lost in an adventure. Well, RNIB's Reading Services online library is here for you. Listen to a book on your phone or tablet, or just tell your Amazon smart speaker to play your latest talking books.
To search for a book, say find followed by the title.
Or if you prefer Braille, download a book and read on an electronic Braille display, such as the Orbit Reader. Search for RNIB Reading Services online, or call the RNIB helpline and tell them that you're interested in the reading services or any of the other great RNIB services we offer. The helpline number is 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999.
RNIB Connect Radio.
Sail away with me, honey. Put my heart in your hand. Sail away. What will be, I wanna hold you now, now, now. Crazy skies are wild above me now. Winter howling at my face. And everything I held so dear disappeared without a trace. Oh, all the times I tasted love, never knew quite what I had. Little darling, if you hear me now, never needed you so bad. Spinning round inside my head. Sail away with me, honey. I put my heart in your hand. Sail away with me, honey. Now, now, now. Sail away. I wanna hold you now, now, now. I've been talking drunken gibberish, falling in and out of bars, trying to get some explanation here. By the way some people are, how did it ever come so far? Sail away with me, honey. Put my heart in your hand. Sail away. I
Did you know that one of the world's leading visitor attractions is based in Scotland? And if you're blind or partially sighted, there's all sorts of ways to help you enjoy your visit. But where is it? Can you guess? No, it's not in Glasgow. It's in Edinburgh. No, it's not the castle. It is, however, the Royal Yacht Britannia. But before we step on board, let's chat with Jennifer Campbell from the Royal Yacht Britannia. An iconic attraction, I think that's the right word to use, but do you find that you have to improve things, update things as the years go on to keep those crowds coming?
Thanks, Alan. Britannia's been in Leith since 1998, so in 2 years' time we're celebrating 30 years in Leith. Every year we welcome over 300,000 people down to the Royal Yacht to explore the five decks on board. We actually had rather an exciting time last year as we launched our brand new visitor centre, which is within the shopping centre Ocean Terminal, which is beside the ship itself. And our visitor centre includes a beautiful new reception where you buy your tickets and you're introduced to the yacht. Then you follow through this beautiful museum with photographs and sound bites from the history of the yacht. And then we've also gained a beautiful new gift shop full of gorgeous things. So it's just over a year old.
It's really unlike any office, isn't it? It must be a great place to work.
It is. It's a joy to work on board, actually. It's such an iconic vessel that everybody knows, which is great. Our offices are in the former guest bedrooms on the yacht. So we're directly below the state dining room and I have a porthole for an office window. The ship's so steeped in history, you don't get bored of working there. It's just stunning.
When you're walking around the yacht, you can't avoid thinking this was a family ship. This had royalty living, playing. It had heads of state, celebrities on board as well. Is there a spot on the ship that's a favourite of yours?
There's a small room near the top of the ship at the stern, the sun lounge, and it was the Queen's favourite room on board. And it's got beautiful teak panelling and it's got lovely big picture windows that look out to the back of the ship. And that's where the Queen would have her afternoon tea served in there. And it also had a little bar in the corner as well. And it's a lovely, a wee 1950s time capsule. It's just gorgeous. So that's absolutely my favourite room. I could see myself relaxing in that room.
It is a beautiful part of the ship and we will be paying a visit. So let's step on board. Anchors away.
At John Brown's yard on Clydeside, the 4,000-tonne Royal Yacht is ready for launching by Her Majesty. It was at this same yard that the Queen, as Princess Elizabeth, launched the battleship Vanguard in 1944. 3 years later, she named the Coronia. But this is the first launching ceremony she has attended since her accession. Thousands of dock workers, many of whom helped to build the royal craft, give the Queen a warm reception as she walks past them to inspect the yacht. In the event of war, it can be converted quickly to a hospital ship. For many months, there has been speculation about the name of the new yacht, and there's an air of expectancy as Her Majesty steps forward to perform the actual launching ceremony.
I name the ship Britannia. I wish success to her and to all who sail in her.
Her Majesty releases the traditional bottle, not of champagne this time, but of Empire wine. Soon the Britannia will become a home for the Queen, the Duke and their children.
Hello and welcome to the Royal Yacht Britannia in Ocean Terminal, Edinburgh. My name's Leslie and I'm a visitor assistant, part of the visitor experience team that will look after you on board your visit to the Royal Yacht Britannia. So we're standing right now in our new visitor centre. If you listen behind us there, we heard Her Majesty the Queen announcing the name of the yacht. She was built in 1952 and launched in 1953, and that was by John Brown's Shipbuilders. In our visitor centre, we try to get across information about the construction of the yacht and the history of royal yachts from 1660 right up until the very last one, the 83rd one, In the area around us, we have certain exhibits that describe the history of yachting in the royal family, which include model of the royal yacht, the wheelhouse, and also a stylish binnacle, which is a wooden compass-holding item as well. But where we're walking past now, Alan, just to let you know, is we're coming past huge maps of the world showing where Britannia sailed, and then also we have a large board where there are flags of all over the world, so our visitors can stand, and if they're from abroad, and say, oh, she went to Northern Ireland, Wales, or the Bahamas, wherever it is, we have the flags, which is a nice pool. We're now standing at the point where our visitors will pick up their audio devices. Now, we have options for you. One is that you pick up our standard audio device, or you can get a visually impaired enhanced version where the description is more detailed. Also, for those who may wish one, we have a script in Braille which can be offered to you. And finally, if you'd like to use your phone, we have an option whereby we can help you scan a QR code, and it's all through your AirPods or your other headphones that you have. So we're really giving you four options to listen to the commentary. As you move around the yacht, there are 27 points of interest for everyone to listen to. You're in control of when you listen to them, but we would emphasise at this point we will give you all the help you need in using the device. We are now in the state apartments level, which is known as the gold level, level one on the royal yacht. We have five decks in total, so you're actually at the moment standing in the highlight of the royal apartments. We are standing in the anteroom. This area was used by the family to meet and greet guests either before lunch or before dinner for drinks. There's some beautiful mahogany doors around that could be enclosing the party to make it even more private. In one corner, we have the little bar pantry area where stewards would bring those drinks to the royal family and guests. And around the room, we have various objects, including a uniform worn by His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh. The one that we're seeing here was worn for a state banquet. Prince Philip had several uniforms, as he was a Navy officer himself. But this one is beautifully covered in gilt, and it has his rank on his sleeve and several medals, including a medal around his neck worn beneath his black tie. We're standing now in the drawing room. The royal family love to use this space for state receptions, but also for themselves as a family, particularly in August for their time in the Western Isles on the way to Balmoral. Around the room, we're seeing a beautiful homely atmosphere. The Queen was absolutely adamant she did not want the yacht to look palatial, so she worked with Hugh Casson, a designer, to suit her style of country house feel, very 1950s. The curtains are very pale pink. The carpet on the floor is more of a sort of biscuity beige colour. The furnishings are very floral, pinks and greens. And around the walls, surprisingly, no expensive paintings and famous artists. We have sketches of previous yachts and lots of original family photographs. One feature of the room, which is always delightful to our day guests now, are the fresh flowers. We keep on the tradition that the Queen had of making sure there were always fresh flowers on board for her guests to enjoy and for her to feel less homesick. She would have the flowers brought from the gardens at Windsor Castle. They'd be kept below stairs in the nice cool, and a junior steward would come in and arrange them for her. So behind me here, we have a lovely sideboard where actually the family had their television, and it's covered with photographs, including a beautiful vase of flowers of the season. Currently, they're in hues of pinks and greens and purples. In this room, we also have a beautiful fireplace, beautiful mantelpiece. The Queen's desire was to have a real fire, but unfortunately, for safety reasons, they needed to have a sailor all the time to put out any stray coal, which wouldn't make it very conducive to privacy. So in the end, the Queen had to compromise. She got to a beautiful fireplace, but it's an electric fire. However, it's a lovely focal point for the family, and indeed for any receptions that were held here. But the family would enjoy television, games, and as you may be able to hear, we have a piano tinkling in the background. It's a beautiful piece played by the likes of Princess Margaret, Princess Alexandra, the Queen's cousin, and the late Princess Diana as well. It's a Velmar piano, and I believe it was about £450 when purchased. I think it would be a great deal more now. But the family loved to have the piano playing for them, just as background, to make everyone feel comfortable and relaxed. So we have left the drawing room and the ante room, and we've actually walked past the beautiful state staircase that would take the family up to their bedrooms after dinner or an event. The staircase is beautifully designed in a curved style, again with the same carpeting as we are standing on here, as was the drawing room, and the staircase has mahogany and gold railings on the way upstairs. We're now standing in the state dining room. This is a magnificent room that can still seat up to 98 guests for an evening event if required, and the Royal Yacht Britannia does hire out the yacht. But in this space, the family would eat formally and informally with their guests here. The normal setup would be the long table, which would be chairs on either side. It's known as Heppelthwaite table and chairs. A deep mahogany colour and a pale green fabric on the seating with little gold motifs on there. Around the room we also have beautiful soft coloured gold curtains. There are various windows here on both sides. The Queen loved a lot of natural light coming in, and there are very tasteful little wall lamps as well with a cream coloured fabric. We also have loads of cases around the walls containing gifts were bestowed upon the family as they went around the world. Boomerangs from Australia. We have a whale bone found in Antarctica by none other than the Duke of Edinburgh himself, Prince Philip. And another feature for you is an American peace pipe. But certainly, linger longer in this room. The number of guests that have stayed here over the years or had entertainment is like a who's who of the 20th century. We've had everyone from Winston Churchill right through to Margaret Thatcher, Indira Gandhi, Boris Yeltsin, and we've had Frank Sinatra to bring it right down to the world of entertainment. So I always feel if this room, the walls could talk, the stories they could tell. So it's a very historic room for entertaining with the family, but also with world state leaders. Now also this room, for other reasons than dinners, it was used for the 21st birthday party of Princess Anne, the Princess Royal, as a wonderful sprung dance floor. Also the Queen observed her Sunday service regularly on board, so this would turn into a church on a Sunday. But equally, behind some doors to my right here, the doors could be opened to reveal a screen and the young royals could watch, and the older royals, various films. We're led to believe that the Queen was very fond of the James Bond films, particularly Sean Connery, I'm delighted to say.
Bond. James Bond.
Goldfinger, he's the man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch, such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. You feel for a golden girl knows when he's kissed her. It's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. You feel for a golden girl knows when he's kissed her.
We're now standing in the sun lounge. Now, this is at the rear of the yacht, adjacent to the royal veranda deck, where the family would use for recreation whilst on holiday. And this room is surprising because it was seen to be the Queen's favourite space of all on board, and yet it's very simple in its decor. Teak walls, wooden floor, and simple furniture. We have almost like garden-type furniture around the room here. Sun lounger, there's a sofa here, and some bucket seats that the family would enjoy, very 1970s style almost. There's also a bar in the area, and also at the other side, a cupboard full of games and toys that the family would enjoy, games like Monopoly and Scrabble, and there's a record player as well. So this was their recreation space. Behind us here as well, there is an easel because Prince Philip was a keen painter and he was often known to be sitting outside in all parts of the world, relaxing if he could and doing some watercolour. We did have a well-known English painter come on board called Edward Seeger who assisted him. But the young royal children, Prince Charles as then was, and his sister and brothers would play on the deck various games like deck hockey in complete privacy. So this was her favourite spot because she could just relax and be herself at a time in her life when everything else around her was so busy. The summer holidays in Scotland were her favourite time.
I am sailing home again, across the sea. I am sailing stormy waters to be near you, to be free. I am flying, I am flying like a bird across the sky.
Dark night, far
We're now on the ground floor, and this is very much the sailors' area. And we start in the petty officers' bar, which is a very homely, quite Spartan, but still comfortable bar area, surrounded by many photographs and items belonging to the sailors, like their books and their trophies and things like that, including photographs of the late Princess Diana on the walls, if that would be of interest. But around here we have a bar area with three taps for beer and spirits as well. And to my right here we have accommodation, six bunks, three on each side for some of the petty officers. As we move through this floor, we'll describe some more of the accommodation that is visible to visitors and also some of the very limited wardrobe space they had as well. But we'll carry on this floor now, and we'll introduce other aspects, including a laundry and a hospital. Come through from the petty officers' lounge, and now we're in an area that was also used by the Royal Marines. Don't forget that the Royal Marine Band would be on board with the family, and perhaps it would be a good time to mention some numbers. There were 220 sailors, 20 officers, one admiral, and if the Royal Marines were on board, another 26 for the entertainment. There is accommodation here for a dozen Royal Marines sleeping and living. We're surrounded by their metal lockers. They didn't really have much space for wardrobe, so we're just going to call them lockers. They would relax here as well as polish their shoes and get their uniform ready, and they often had several uniform changes. When the yacht was built, many of the sailors slept in hammocks, and as the rollout went throughout the years, they would change more into bunks, but certainly many of the sailors spent all their time in the hammocks. We're led to believe that they actually found this very enjoyable, or preferable, shall we say, to a bunk when it was stormy weather, because the motion allowed them to stay in their hammock, whereas they would fall out of their bunks if they were necessarily at sea in the high winds. But certainly it's far from the glamorous life, but they stayed a long time as royal yachtsmen, and they're very proud of their involvement serving their queen for all these many years, as many of them did. Left the petty officers and the marine accommodation. It's actually quite a busy deck below stairs for the sailors. Amongst the highlights that we've passed here is the naffy, which is still used to this day as a fudge shop. You can try fudge before you buy fudge, and it's made on board. Then we turn a corner and we pass the CPOs, that's the Chief Petty Officers Bar and Lounge Area, a little grander than the petty officers, as befitting their rank. We turn another corner and we pass a very modest but very popular area called the Post Office, because family would love to receive and send mail to their loved ones and receive it in the same. And where we're standing right now is the actual hospital. Now, there was a small operating theatre, a consulting room, and an area for recuperation for two patients. Wasn't ever used for major operations, but there was always medical team on board. And when the Queen came, she brought her own medical staff, should that be necessary. And we're almost about to turn another corner and go into the laundry. We're standing in the laundry. Now, on the Royal Yacht Britannia, she was unique having a laundry. No other Royal Navy vessel had its own laundry like this. Up to 600 shirts a day could be laundered here for the officers and for the other 220 sailors. Appearance was very important, and depending on the climate that Britannia was in, we were talking short sleeve white shirts and Bermuda white shorts, or in other climates, it could be full uniform with pressed jackets and trousers, etc. So different uniforms, different styles for different climates in the world, but certainly a constant hard-working team down here in extreme temperatures, making sure everyone was pristine. When the family were on board, their laundry was done here too, clearly separately from the sailors, but yes, Her Majesty's and her family's outfits would be pressed and cleaned here as well. Prince Philip was very particular about his shirts, even his casual ones, which were very much of a sort of Bermuda style, but he had his standards in uniform, whether he was formal or informal. To cope with all the laundry, you obviously had quite a number of sailors working below stairs here, but the equipment here is of a very industrial scale. To my left, there are huge washing machines and tumble dryers here, larger than I've ever seen, even in a hotel. There are various presses here for their apparel, for their trousers, as I say, for jackets as well. And there's even a press for their stiffened sailor hats, because again, depending on the climate, if it was very muggy, they could look less than their very best. So there's equipment in this space to press the hats as well as the beautiful uniforms and outerwear like blazers.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. Yet all the night's magic seem to whisper and hush. And all the songs seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. Yet I know now the time is just right, and straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. And every time I touch you, you just tremble inside. Then I know how my
cover of October skies. All the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. In all the night's magic seems to whisper and hush. In all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, oh my love? Or can I just make some more romance with you, oh my love? One more moon dance with you in the moonlight on a magic night. Down the moonlight on a magic night. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love?
We're in the royal bedrooms now. There are three bedrooms on display here. There's actually a hidden fourth one, which was the nursery for William and Harry. But the other royal family members, where would they stay? Well, there were 16 other bedrooms, two floors below. But they are now the offices of the Royal Britannia Trust, so they're not for access today. But you will enjoy coming around the royal bedrooms that you do see on the tour. The first surprise is that, yes, the Queen and Prince Philip had separate rooms. Now, this was very traditional at the time for people, obviously, of the aristocracy and the upper class, but equally, they designed the boat. If they decide to have separate rooms, that's really their business. The Queen's room is beautifully decorated, very feminine, very charming, and again, her design. It's very floral. There's a beautiful silkscreen print above her bed that was designed for her, specifically to remember the flora and fauna of the United Kingdom while she was abroad, and she's replicated this through her soft fur. So on her bedding and her curtains as well. There's a very simple but elegant dressing table, and there are some tables by the bed with lamps as well. If we were to turn down the cover of her bed, we would see beautiful white starched sheets that say HM the Queen. Interestingly, recycled from Her Majesty Queen Victoria's reign. So the Queen was all about recycling as well. So was Prince Philip. We have many items on board in terms of furniture that he's actually claimed from the previous royal yacht. So his room, by complete contrast, it's adjacent to Her Majesty's room, and there is an adjoining door. His room is very stark, very no-nonsense, in many ways just like a Navy officer, which is what he was at heart. We're simply seeing a very simple single bed, 3-foot bed, just like Her Majesty, very limited wardrobe space and a desk, rather, and a comfortable seat. And the final room that we're seeing is the only one with a double bed. It was used as a honeymoon suite by four royal couples, also used by the likes of Prince Charles when he was on board in the latter years of the service of Britannia. Principal royal stayed upstairs. Above our heads here is our royal deck tea room. Now, there's an opaque glass above our heads here, but in the days of the royal family, the Queen loved to have it as transparent glass so that daylight would just trickle through to wake everyone naturally. Each of these bedrooms also had its own ensuite bathroom, which was most unusual for the time. But remember, the designers were changing post-war in the 50s, and new ideas like that were coming in to the likes of high-class hotels as well. We're now making our way up to the Royal Deck Tea Room, and just to point out that if you wish to, you can use a lift or stairs from the Royal Bedroom Deck up to the Tea Room. It's available for you just with assistance from a visitor assistance if required. It's a very small lift, I would say 3 people at most, but the instructions of how to use the lift are inside, and it's a lovely homage back to the use of the lift, where the Queen Mother particularly enjoyed using the lift to go through all the different decks as she aged. It was convenient for her to retire to her bedroom down below. So let's come into the Royal Deck Tea Room now.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to the tea room, if I may emphasise again, you can either take the staircase, it's not too many stairs, or you can take the internal lift you'll find at the Royal Bedrooms. Either way, make your way to the podium where one of our hosts or hostesses will greet you with menus and take you to a table. They'll find the best table they can for you. Please remember, it's all table service, so you can just peruse the menu and they will take your order and everything is then brought to you. I think today my guests are going to enjoy some tea and scones in beautiful bone china silver teapot. It's a real throwback to the times of Her Majesty. But this tea room is a new addition, it has to be said. Previously, the Royal Yacht had this as an open deck. It was used very often by the sailors for sunbathing when the family were not on board. But back about 2009-2010, the feedback from our wonderful visitors was, it's been a wonderful tour, but we need to sit down and have a cuppa. So the trustees and the yacht were able to approach the Royal Collection and say, could we build something on? And now we have this beautiful tea room, which I feel has got the vibe that it's always been here. You're surrounded by beautiful ceiling-to-floor windows that let in a lot of natural light. There's natural music playing in the background. My colleagues will look after you handsomely, and may I stress that everything on board is made fresh every day in our galley kitchens. You can have as little as a scone, which I recommend highly, three varieties, tea and coffee, or if you want cakes, but equally from lunchtime, soup and sandwiches, platters including paprika, potato wedges with a dip. I mean, they are delicious. You can have a soft drink, you can have a less than soft drink. We've got a fully licensed bar. You can have cocktails, champagne, whatever you like. We look after you handsomely, as befits the Royal Tea Room on the Royal Yacht Britannia.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I've said to myself, this affair, it never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know damn well that I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice comes in the night and repeats, repeats in my ear. Don't you know, you fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin, because I've got you under my skin. Sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice comes in the night and repeats how it yells in my ear. Don't you know, you fool, ain't no chance to win. Why not use your mentality, get up, wake up to reality. Thought of you makes me stop just before I begin, because I've got you
under my skin. And I like you under my skin.
So we're now at the end of the tour. I'd like to tell you a couple of lovely little stories, because the Royal Yacht Britannia isn't just a tourist attraction. She's not just a ship. She means a lot to people from all over the world, particularly Commonwealth countries, or indeed people who have served on her before. We welcome back yachties, as we call the former yachtsmen, at a specific point in the year every May, but they can come at any time and they're very, very welcome. So one of the privileges we have as staff is if they wish to go what we call behind the ropes, they certainly can. And just recently I took a gentleman and his wife to our communications room. He virtually led me there, of course, because he knew it like it was yesterday. And as soon as we had the door opened, he was pointing out to his wife where he had sat, which equipment he had operated, and it was as if he'd left the yacht yesterday. Let's not forget it's now a full 28 years since the decommissioning come this December, and this gentleman had served even prior to that by a good 10 years, and yet he remembered everything in finite detail. Another lovely story I have, which I'll never forget, was meeting a slightly older lady on the veranda deck. She was in her probably mid to late 80s, and she was from Australia, and she reminisced that she had remembered clearly when she was a little girl, about 5 years old, that her mother had taken her out of primary school so she could wave her union flag at Britannia, who was berthed, as she was many times, at Sydney Harbour. And I looked at this lady and thought, my goodness, that's probably about 75 to 80 years ago. And here she was, just in awe of the fact that she was now standing on the Royal Veranda deck as if she was the Queen herself. It was a lovely moment, and we're privileged to hear these stories regularly from our visitors. So it would be a joy to welcome you on board as well.
Her days as Royal Yacht are over. Britannia in Portsmouth tonight, her union and ensign flags no longer flying. Piped aboard for the final time, the Queen and Duke of Edinburgh came to say goodbye to a yacht whose royal duties spanned nearly half a century. A farewell from 14 members of the royal family. A piper's finale before the families of those who serve and have served on this, the 83rd Royal Yacht. In 1953, the Queen had launched Britannia to wild cheers. Now she and Prince Philip stood close to tears as the Navy paid its final tribute. And so hard now for military composure to fight against emotion. Many of these crew have known no other ship but Britannia. Now they will return to a traditional Navy career. And their Commodore, Anthony Morrow, standing to attention for the final act of decommissioning. The lowering of the ensign and the union flags. A sad yet graceful end to Britannia's years of royalty.
Just a small glimpse of what you can find on a visit to the Royal Yacht Britannia at Leith Docks in Edinburgh. Truly amazing visit, and having the very in-depth audio guides really helps if you're blind or partially sight. And of course, there's the Braille options there for you as well, and they're really helpful staff. Jennifer, what kind of feedback do you get from guests?
We get lovely feedback from the public. It concentrates on our staff. We have a fabulous team of staff who just are so welcoming and smiley and just give everyone like a good experience whilst they're on board. So much so that the reviews that they leave in TripAdvisor pushed us up to the number one attraction in the world because we have the best quality reviews on there. So it's not done by quantity, it's done by quality of review. We were just voted just earlier this year the number one attraction in the world, which was an enormously proud moment for the whole team. It was lovely.
Now, if people would like to find out more about the Royal Yacht Britannia, the visits, and perhaps want to talk to someone about some of the extra assistance that's there, if you're blind or partially sighted or have other disabilities or sensory impairments, what's the best way to do that?
Yes, absolutely. The first stop I would say would be the website, which is royalyachtbritannia.co.uk. And on there, you'll find a whole accessibility section, and it's got our accessibility statement in there, which outlines everything that we can do to help. We also have our email address, which is inquiries@tryb.co.uk. And we're always happy to chat. So if you phone 0131 555 5566, we're very happy to talk you through any queries.
And let's hope more people do take the opportunity to step on board the Royal Yacht Britannia. Jennifer, thank you very much for having us on board, and thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having us. It was really lovely to welcome you on board.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing. Somewhere beyond the sea, she's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far beyond a star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt, my heart will lead me there. We'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing. My heart will lead me there soon. We'll meet, I know we'll meet beyond the shore. We'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sail. So long sailing, bye-bye sailing, move on our captain.
On Freeview Channel 730, online and on smart devices, this is RNIB Connect Radio.
RNIB Talking Books provides more than 1 million audiobooks every year to people with sight loss and is now completely free for all blind and partially sighted people in the UK. The RNIB Library is the largest of its kind in Europe and offers a wide range of fiction and non-fiction titles which readers can access on CD, on USB or as a digital download. The RNIB Library also caters for adults and children in Braille so that you can listen how you choose, whether at home or on the go. To find out more about the RNIB Library or to sign up for your free membership, call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or visit www.rnib.org.uk/library.
RNIB Connect Radio.